revival breaking out at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church right there. My mom's back there going like this, you know. Be honest, I carried that group tonight. Amen. I mean, I carried that group. There's no doubt about it, you know. Yeah. That is a great song. You love the Bible? Say amen. I tell you, where would we be if you couldn't trust that book right there? Aren't you glad it's trustworthy? Have you found it trustworthy in your life? Amen. I'm telling you, no doubt about it. I want you to find your place in the book of John chapter 20. It'll take me just a little while to get there. 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, now's your time for your special class. All 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, now's your time for your special class. Appreciate those serving with you tonight. God bless you. They're excited about it. That's good. Good to see Miss Mosier here with us tonight. God bless you, Miss Virginia. I'm praying for you and thank God for you and your family. I appreciate you being here. I've begun a study with you. I think this is part 4, I'm not sure about that, on the doctrine of angels. And what I typically try to do is I try to have 3 series going on. One in the Old Testament book. We've just finished the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'm praying about the next Old Testament book. A New Testament book, which is the book of Acts, which we preached from this morning. And a topical series. And this is the topical series that we've been going through on sound doctrine. And I've preached to you on the doctrine of God, the doctrine of the Bible. There's something else I've preached on. And then the doctrine that we've started on here is the doctrine of angels. And it'll take me just a little while to get to where you're at there in John chapter number 20. Let me pray with you, and I'm going to bring us up to date with where we are in our study tonight. Father, would you bless this service? Speak to our hearts. And I pray as we come to this study on angels, I pray that you will be the teacher tonight. May nothing be said that displeases you. And may you deal with us thoroughly, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I do encourage you to go back and get the messages that I've already preached. I just want to mention some of this and tap it on the head and go forward. By means of introduction, I shared with you in the first sermon that we should base our beliefs on Scripture, not speculation. And we must never let angels replace God in our lives, and we should never worship angels, and Jesus Christ is to be praised. We shared with you, I believe it was the last time I was with you, number 1, Roman numeral 1, was the purpose of angels. And the purpose of angels in the Word of God is to glorify the God of heaven, just like your purpose is and my purpose is. Then we've noticed the description of angels, and I brought out several things about their description. And tonight we begin with Roman numeral number 3, and that is what I call the ministry of angels. What are they doing? What is their work? Right now, what are the angels doing? It's a good question to ask, isn't it? And as we think about this, there's much that can be said. There's no doubt about that. But the Lord's laid on my heart to divide the ministry of angels into 2 major parts. The first major part is their ministry to God, what they do to the Lord, for the Lord, if you will. And then secondly, their ministry to us. Now, we're not going to get that far tonight because we're going to start here with, first of all, their ministry to God. And I want to give you several things here. We need to never forget that angels are part of God's creation. And therefore, they are made to bring glory and honor to God. Now, it's no surprise that the angels have a ministry to the Lord. And as we study the angels in the Word of God, there are several things that come out to show us how they minister or serve the Lord and what they do for Him. That, folks, we can all learn from. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a preacher earlier today in the hallway and talking about this thought here. As I was studying this about what angels do to the Lord, what their ministry to Him, what they're doing to the Lord and with the Lord, they are a great example of what you and I should be doing. In other words, if you want to know what you ought to be doing with the Lord, then study the angels. Because when you look at what they're doing, it's exactly what you and I should be doing. So let me give you several things here tonight. This is all under this Roman numeral 3, the ministry of angels. Letter A, their ministry to God, number 1. Are you with me? Here we go. Let me give you several things here. First of all, they deliver God's message. Now, the name angel means messenger. That's what it means. It means just a messenger. And that's exactly what they are when it comes to God's message given to us. Matter of fact, that's the essence of who and what angels truly are. They are couriers for someone other than themselves. They're someone else's ambassadors. Does that sound familiar to you? Someone else's agents. They represent only Him and never themselves. They're channels to carry only His information. They speak and act according to His instructions and they bear His authority. They are His messengers. That's what they are. And when they give us strength or enlightenment, it's God's strength or enlightenment that they're imparting. Their encouragement is God's encouragement. Their guidance is God's guidance. Their protection is God's protection. When they bring comfort, it's God's comfort that they offer. Some of the passages that we see angels delivering God's message, just some of these to people on earth down through the years would be, for instance, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. I'm not going to read these passages. I remind you, you can have my type notes, okay? Because it's going to be very hard to keep up with me. But in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 31, you'll find that that's when Gabriel, the angel, came sharing God's message with Mary that she was going to give birth to the Christ child. In Luke chapter 2, verses 9 to 12, you see angels announcing to the shepherds the birth of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 28, 1 through 7, you see them announcing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 1, verses 11 to 25, you'll notice the angels come. The angel, he's named, it's Gabriel. And he announces to Zacharias that the coming birth of his son, John the Baptist, who would be used mightily of God. In Revelation 1:1, an angel sent to John to signify the message of Jesus Christ with what is to come. In Revelation 21:9, an angel speaks to John about the Lamb's bride. In Acts chapter 27, verses 23 and 24, we see angels coming, an angel coming to Paul right here, that no life would be lost at sea and he would stand before Caesar. Over and over and over and over, when angels came, they never spoke of themselves. They only delivered the message of God. Now, as we consider this truth about angels being God's messengers, let me give you a couple of things to understand and keep in mind as you think about them just delivering God's message. Let me give you a couple of things here. First of all, little letter A here, they are only one-way messengers. Let me say it again. They are only one-way messengers. In other words, we are never to pray to an angel. That's what I mean. They do not take our messages to God. No, no. Rather, they bring God's message to us. No one in Scripture ever prays to an angel, and neither should we. They are not go-betweens. They are not mediators between us and heaven. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Don't ever be caught praying to an angel. That is not why they exist. They are God's messengers. We're looking at their ministry to God. They are God's messengers. They deliver His messages, but they do not deliver our messages to Him. They are one-way messengers. Secondly, under this, it's the important thing is the message, not the angel delivering it. Now let me show you what I mean here. Suppose an angel did appear to you with some message from God. What would you honestly be more excited about? What he had to say or seeing an angel? Let me tell you why a lot of people don't see angels, including me, amen. Because God can't trust us with it. Can't trust us. Because he knows today, if an angel appeared, everybody would go, wow, look at that angel. And they'd pay no attention to what he says. Every time they appeared in the Word of God and they spoke, those people that they appeared to did not say, I heard from an angel. They did not say that. They did not say, I saw an angel. Didn't say it. They rejoiced in the message that they heard. Stay with me here, friends. I'm trying to help somebody here. Again and again in Scripture, we see this pattern. that those who are given the privilege of a direct, visible, or audible ministry from angels are those with mature hearts who want to encounter God, not encounter angels. The gospel accounts of the resurrection are a good example. For instance, the women and the disciples believe the angelic report of the good news of Jesus' resurrection. Remember when they went to the tomb on separate occasions and all of this? They got to the tomb and there's an angel there, and then they look in and there's two angels sitting there. You know the story. And the angels say, "He's not here, he's risen as he said." Remember that? But once they did, right here, I'm talking about the women disciples believe the angelic report of the good news of Jesus' resurrection. And once they believe that, once they did, any of them turn, right here, they did not, none of them ever turned their attention and focus on the angels. You won't find it. No one got excited about seeing angels. They were excited about what the angels said. They were excited that Jesus was alive. And the angel was not going to take that away from them. Now, you're in John chapter 20. Let's read this here. Talking about the important thing is God's message, not the angel that delivers it. Look at John chapter 20, verse 10. Notice this. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting. There it is. There's two angels in the tomb. One at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. They say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." And when he called her by name, she turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." See, only Jesus could speak her name like that. Verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Now notice what Mary Magdalene did in verse 18. Now keep in mind, before we read it, I know some of you are reading ahead of me, that's fine. I like it when you read the Word of God when I'm preaching. I like that. I think God likes that. I know He likes that. Look at the Bible. Read the Bible. Before we get to verse 18 and read it together, keep in mind what's just happened. Mary, she's there. She's brokenhearted because she thinks somebody's stolen the body of Jesus. She stoops down and looks into the tomb, and there's two angels, one at the head and one at the feet. And she's still broken. And they say, "Why are you weeping?" And she's like, "Listen, if you'll just tell me where you've taken him, I'll go get him and carry him away myself." She turns around and there's a man. She doesn't know it's the Lord. He's withholding his identity here, you see. And she just thinks it's the gardener. And she has this conversation with him about finding the body of Jesus. And all of a sudden, he's heard enough and he says, "Mary." And when she heard her name, she realized that's Jesus. And then he tells her something. "Don't touch me." But he says, "You go to my brethren and you say unto him, I ascend unto my Father, your Father, my God, your God." Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the angels. Is that what it says? "Hey, I saw angels today." No. Who was on her heart? Who was on her mind? She said, "I've seen the Lord." What's this mean here? She carried on a fairly calm conversation with two angels dressed in white. She turned away from them to converse with somebody she thought to be the gardener. It turned out to be the Lord. And when she returned to tell the disciples, she did not say, "I've seen angels." But she said, "I've seen the Lord." See, her heart was right. And therefore, God was able to let her see angels. Suppose you received a letter today from a favorite friend who's far away. What would you do with it first? Would you stare at the stationery for hours to analyze and admire the stationery that it was written on? Would you obtain a chemical analysis of the ink to learn exactly what it's made of? Would you investigate where the paper came from and how it was woven and cut? Is that what you'd do? No, none of us would do that. Because see, paper and ink are simply the means of your friend's communication with you. What you're interested in is in your friend, not your friend's, right here, is in your friend and your friend's message. You're not interested in what it comes in, you understand? The paper and ink fully serve their intended purpose by simply bringing that personal message to you. You know, the same logic applies in our approach to angels. Angels are just a means of communication from God who does the communicating. Through what angels say and do, God personally expresses His friendship to us and His fatherhood and much more to us. What's important is the message angels bring, not the messengers themselves. See, before we move on, let us apply this to our own lives here. This first thought, that they are God's messengers. But yet, as we learn in this, that as we think about them being God's messengers, they're only one-way messengers. They're messengers from God to us, never from us to God. And it's the message that's important, not the messenger. It's God's message that's important. And just kind of summarizing this first point about their ministry to God, they are God's messengers. Let's just apply this to our own lives here. Because I told you that if you want to know what you ought to be doing for God, then look at the angels. Do what they do. What do? They're consumed to give His message to the world. Sound familiar? I mean, does it sound like something maybe you and I ought to be doing with our life? I'm talking about giving God's message to people on earth. This is what it is. That just as angels are made and commissioned by God to send His message to people, God has commissioned His children to be His messengers in this world. For instance, we've been commissioned by God to take His message to a lost and dying world, Mark 16:15. Along with this, we are to preach the Word of God to people and tell them what God said, 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I know Paul is speaking to young Timothy, the pastor, and the direct applications about in the pulpit. Make sure you're preaching the Bible, and that's what we ought to do here. That's what we ought to do in our Sunday school classes, on our bus routes. But I'm going to tell you something else. That's what we ought to be doing in our homes. That's what we ought to be doing on our workplaces. We all ought to go out of here as preachers of the Word of God, reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine. What I'm saying to you is we are like the angels in that we're not to spread our own message, but we're to go around the world telling people what God said. Folks, what a privilege. And may I say this to you? That's why you're still alive. That's why you're still here. This doesn't just apply to the gospel. This applies to Christians just preaching and teaching and meditating and giving God's message. This is what people need. I'm going to tell you something. The world needs a revolution back to the Bible is what it needs. They need what God says because His words are the words of life. And that's what the world needs. And anytime an angel delivers a message, I guarantee you this, if it's a holy angel, He's going to be delivering God's message. No doubt about it. And if you're a Christian right with God, you will be delivering God's message in this lost and dying world. There's no doubt about it. They are His messengers. Number two, they worship Him. The Bible says in Psalm 148, 1 and 2, it says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him all His angels. God commands His angels to praise Him. He commands them to do it. The Bible says in Luke 2:13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Psalm 103:20, bless the Lord, ye His angels. Revelation 5:11 and 12, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And it starts with, I heard the voice of many angels there among this crowd saying with a loud voice, what are they saying? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Revelation 7:11 and 12, And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Do you see that in your mind's eye? Here are these angelic, magnificent, wonderful beings from another world. But they know who's to be worshipped. And it's not them. It's their God who created them. In various parts of Scripture, the angels are represented as participating in the worship, praise, and service of Jehovah. Another illustration of this would be in Daniel chapter 7, verse 10, where there's a myriad of angels and they're standing in the presence of God for His worship and His ministry. And in the Psalms, where the Holy Spirit calls upon them for ascriptions of praise. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All ye angels, give Him praise. Glorify God, worship God. Hey, that includes the angels, my friends. And that's exactly what the holy angels are doing. As a matter of fact, I've told you, I'm just trying to apply this to us, that if you want to know what you ought to be doing with God, look at the angels. What are they doing with Him? They're taking His message to this world. That's what they're doing. What are they doing with Him? They're falling down before Him in worship, adoration, and praise. And they're singing praise to Him. But you know, I'm going to say something to you here. When you study how they worship God, it gives you a pretty good idea how we ought to worship Him. Let me give you four things right here. I know I'm loading you down. I get it. But all I'm saying to you tonight is that God needs to be worshipped. Amen. The angels are doing it, so don't you think we should? Hey, His message needs to be taken to a lost and dying world, and not just a lost and dying world, but God's children need to be encouraged by the Word of God. No doubt about it. It's what our angels doing, taking God's Word around the world. What should you and I be doing? Taking God's Word around the world, encouraging one another, telling the lost the gospel, telling people what God said. And as you study the way they worship, let me give you four ways they worship. This is not exhaustive. I'm just trying to whet your appetite. Go study it deeper. Number one, they worship attentively. Attentively. Matthew 18:10, listen to this. Listen to this verse. He said, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, talking about children. Listen to this. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels, their angels, possessive, their angels, do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Wow. You know what that tells me? That tells me they're focused. That tells me they're attentive. That tells me they're not distracted when it comes to worshiping God. That tells me that if God would pull back the curtain and we could look into heaven right now, the angels that are there are staring in the face of Almighty God like this. You getting it? You want me to stay here for another 5 minutes? Like this, staring at Him. Let me tell you why. Because they adore Him. They love Him. They worship Him. And they are right on the edge of their seat, ready to do anything He tells them to do. Wow. What should we be doing? Should we not be undistracted in our worship? Should we not be attentive when we come into the presence of God? And should we not have our eyes glued on God, who He is, what He's done, His goodness, ready to do anything He tells us to do? They worship attentively. They've got their eyes on Him. Number two, they worship obediently. I've already said this, but they're ready to do whatever He tells them to do. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him. In other words, He's commanding them to do it, so guess what they do? They do it. So I just don't feel like worshiping God. Get over it and worship Him anyway. It's a choice. Did you know that? See, we have belittled worship. We try to make worship about our feelings, about how you feel, about, well, I don't feel like worshiping. I don't feel like it. God never said, if you feel like worship Me, do it. He says, I command you to worship Me. He's got every right to do that too. and he tells his angels, you worship me. Guess what they do? They worship him. They just obey. The point here is angels understand their purpose to bring glory to God, and that's exactly what they're doing with the life that God has given them. Let me ask you a question. What's interfering with your obedient worship? I am not naive enough to believe that every heart in this auditorium is thoroughly right with God. I'm not naive enough to believe that. Do you understand something? You don't even know if my heart's right with God. I think it is. But you don't really know that, do you? God's the only one that really does, right? I want to ask you a question. Are you really, really, truly, thoroughly right with God? Or is there anything in life that he's told you to do and you've not done it yet? You know what worship is? Obedience. Obedience is part of worship. You cannot worship God and live in disobedience to him. It's impossible. Is there anything he's told you not to do that you are doing? Is there anything he's told you to do that you're not doing? They obey him. That's one way they worship him. They just live in obedience. Third, they worship reverently, with respect, awe, fear, in a right way. Psalm 89:7 says, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Who's about him today? Who's in his presence today? Who is that talking about? There's no question the angels have to at least be included in that right there, friends. And God's word says that he's to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Folks, there's just no way you can fully explain the holiness and majesty of God. I mean, there's just no way. God with these holy beings, I mean, they're created. Some of them are just flying around and with wings covering their eyes and all covering their feet and just crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. How must it break the heart of God for little tiny human beings to not be willing to give him the reverential worship that the angels, who are celestial, are willing to give him? I don't know about you, but I'm sensing we're on holy ground tonight. I'm serious when I say that. I feel something in my heart, just in the innermost being of me right now. I almost feel like taking my shoes off. Because these celestial beings worship God with reverence, respect. Isaiah 6:3, I've already said this, but it says, and one cried unto another, talking about the angels, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. They worship attentively. They worship obediently. They worship reverently. Folks, as we think about this, if these holy creatures cry out in praise of God's holiness day and night, I mean, the Bible says day and night they're crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. If they're crying out day and night for that, how much more should we? What's the attitude of our worship? Is it flippant? Just like I was talking to the deacons today with this magazine that Pastor Clarence Sexton wrote on true biblical worship. Boy, he hit it right on the head. He said, we've tried to make God man-size is what we've done. We've tried to lower him where we can reach out and feel him and touch him and make him more like us and conform him into our image instead of us conforming into the image of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. How reverent were you this week in worshiping God? How respectful of God were you this week when you went into His presence? Hey, by the way, isn't it a blessing to be able to go into the presence of God today? But how in the world do we not hear something like this and just about just say, yes, I'm going to go in, but it's no longer going to be popping my bubble gum. Well, it's good to be here today. We have lost the fear of God in this country. We have lost the respect that God deserves. And I'm not necessarily talking about out there. I'm talking about right here. You say, Pastor, do you fear God? I'd say absolutely yes. But sometimes I don't treat Him the way I should. Sometimes I treat Him and the world treats Him like He's just my buddy. And thank God He wants to be a friend. Amen. He's a friend of sinners. But folks, He is high and lifted up as who He is. He is holy. And the angels are worshiping Him. And you and I should be doing the same. They worship Him reverently. God's on that right there. I can tell it. I mean, God's on that. And not only that, but they worship Him freely. You know what this means? Yes, sure, God has commanded them to do it. All that, I get that. But you read about their worship in the Word of God. Read it. Scripture's filled with descriptions of the angels. Jubilant, unrestrained worship. It provides similar instructions for us. In other words, they're not miserable when they're worshiping God. You'll never read in the Bible that the angels are worshiping God, but they really don't want to. They really don't desire to. No. When you and I are let in from the Word of God to look into heaven and see them standing around His throne, just staring at His face like this, in awe, in wonder, in amazement. You see them at sometimes they're falling down before the throne and they're crying out, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." You see them crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." And you see them doing all of this and enjoying. Doing it freely. See, even though God commands His children, He will never force you to do anything for Him. He loves you too much. I know someday He will force, because every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. I know that's coming, but I'm just talking about right now as the father, son, and daughter relationship. He gives you a free will to live any way you want to live. But He gives you commands that if you obey, He blesses your life. If you disobey, it's going to be bad. And as you think about all of this, yes, He's commanded them to worship. But folks, He's not standing back with a lightning rod in His hand saying, "You worship Me or I'll kill you." That's not the God I serve. The God I serve knows that when His creatures, glory to God, I'm starting to get blessed right. When His creatures figure out that He is worthy, that He is high and He is holy and He is lifted up, and when His creatures of their own free will fall down and bend the knee now instead of being forced in the future, He knows that they will find what they've been looking for. That includes the angels. I'm telling you. Would others describe your worship as joyful? Would others describe your worship as thankful? Someday, some glorious day, we're going to see Jesus. And we'll know then that we should have paid more attention now. I can't explain it to you. This is just teaching. I'm just teaching you tonight. God's in this room. I know He's in us, but you know what I'm talking about. God is here. I can feel Him. And He wants to be praised. He deserves to be praised. He's the only one worthy of it. Will you follow the angel's example? Go to Him and look into His wonderful face. Bow down before Him and say, "You are worthy. Holy, holy, holy. And whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I'll do it." I want God to know something tonight. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Whatever He wants, I'll do it. Because He is worthy. How do you draw the invitation on this? I feel almost at a loss. But you know, if you're a child of God, you know what the Lord's doing. It's amazing how we can study angels and they just kind of take a back seat. But it lifts God up a little bit higher, doesn't it? That's the purpose of angels. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, help us. Dear God, help us. Help me to lead this and guide this and direct this. Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how to lead this invitation. I don't know how to do it. But I pray that you'll help me. You give the invitation tonight. You do it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Obviously, the altar's always open for somebody to come and trust the Lord as their Savior. The altar's always open for somebody to come by and be saved. And tonight, I'll be honest with you, I think the Lord wants to give the invitation. Who among us tonight will say, "In my heart, I want to worship God like that. I want to worship Him freely of my own choice. I want to worship Him reverently with respect and fear and awe. I want to worship Him obediently that whatever He tells me to do, my answer is yes. And I want to worship Him attentively." God is doing something tonight. He's done something in my heart. And I'm telling you that He wants to be worshiped. He's worthy of our worship. So I'm going to have them just begin to play through softly. And if God is speaking to your heart, if you want to get out of your seat and just come, spend some time with the Lord, just to get on your face, maybe there at your seat or here at the altar, just to worship and praise the Lord. This is what it's about. This is what angels do for us. They point us to Jesus. They point us to the Lord. Give Him praise and honor and glory. This is what it's about. Dear, if you don't mind, let's sing that song. Not this one, but let's sing the song, I Will Praise Him. Can we do that? I feel led of the Lord in this. Rarely ever change the song from the pulpit like this, but I believe the Lord is worthy of this, and He wants to be praised. No doubt about it. Amen. What number is that, Brother Gary? 256. As she finds her place, we're just going to begin to sing. Just going to let the Lord have His way tonight. Brother Gary and I are going to sing, springing this on Him. And as we sing, the altar's open. And you heard my message tonight. It's not about emotionalism. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with getting emotional about it either. The altar will be open. And I'm just going to go as long as I sense the Lord wants me to go. Until I sense He's done. And I want us to do this. If you wouldn't mind, I do want you to bow your head and close your eyes to give people some privacy. So if they feel like they need to respond, they don't feel like people are looking at them. All of this. Let's sing together, shall we?
When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin, I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when He said, "Wilt thou be clean?"
Come on, if God's dealing with you.
I will praise Him. I will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away.
Before we sing on here, the Lord just keeps putting thoughts in my mind. Some of you have had God do a miracle for you. Whether it be physical or financial or mental or spiritual. Maybe even in your marriage. God's done a miracle. I'm going to tell you something. Don't ever get over it. Give God the praise. Maybe as we sing tonight, maybe God wants you to come just to say thank you, God, for what you did for us. Thank you for what you did for me. It may be something nobody else on planet Earth knows about. Might be a great financial problem that you had and you didn't tell anybody on Earth, but God came through for you, didn't He? And He wants to be praised. As we sing, if God leads you to do this, just obey the Lord. Just obey the Lord, friends. That's all we want.
Though the way seems straight and narrow, all I claim was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in ashes lay.
Give the Lord the glory.
I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.
All stand together, please. If you'll take that hymnal 256, we're going to sing these last two verses together. Nobody else comes, we'll be done. But if God wants you to come, you come. Do not leave a service like this disobeying the Lord. You obey the Lord. He's worthy of it. No doubt about it. It's a great song, isn't it? Hard to beat this song. No doubt about it. Let's sing these last two verses. Nobody else comes, we'll be done.
Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm so glad He took me in.
You glad He took you in? Say amen.
He's forgiven my transgressions. He has cleansed my heart from sin.
Lift it up to the Lord.
I will praise Him. sinner slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the Three in One. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.
She's playing through that. Thank you for being here. You're dismissed. I want to keep singing this last verse. You can be dismissed. Just go on. I'm enjoying myself tonight. You can dismiss. Let's sing this. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the Three in One. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. I'm so glad He's forgiven me.